ever travel? I'm fixing to go somewhere, amen. I'm heading out. Well, let me ask you a question. If you've ever been to the airport, how many have ever flown on an airplane? Let me see your hand. You know what it's like to go to the airport, right? What would it be like if you were going to the airport, you had your suitcase and all, and you're making your way to the airport, right? And then as you come into the airport, you see a baggage drop-off. How many know what I'm talking about? You're supposed to drop your baggage off. What would it be like if you said, well, I know that's baggage drop-off, but I'm going to carry my bags anyway. I'm going to carry these bags. I'm going to carry them through the airport. And you know how busy the airport is. People are walking. They'll run over you in the airport. And you just have to get up. And what would it be like? I'm not going to take my bags and drop them at the drop-off. I think I'm going to carry these things around. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to... And you know, you walk a long ways. Especially when you go to the Miami airport. How many have ever been to the Miami airport? When you go from Atlanta to Miami, my soul, you walk and walk. So you might for miles. And hauling that luggage around, it'll really be a load. Well, what would it be like? Said, no, matter of fact, I think I'm going to carry my suitcase. I'm going to carry it all the way to the plane. What would it be like, a big old bulky suitcase like this, and you say, I know I'm supposed to drop it off there, baggage claim. They'll take care of it. I don't have to haul this thing around. I don't have to lug this thing around. Man, I can let them take care of it. No, I'm going to lug this thing around. And then you get ready to go sit in your seat at the airport in the airplane. And you know how crowded that can be, especially if you're on a smaller plane. There's people sitting right next to you. There might be one, two, three chairs. Seats sitting on the outside edge, maybe a few more on the inside. But the bottom line is there's seats right next to you. I mean, there's hardly elbow room. Well, what? Bless God, I think I'm going to carry this back. I'm going to carry my suitcase with me, and I'm just going to sit here in the chair, and I'm just going to carry it everywhere I go. You say, Brother Pastor, you're just being silly. Well, that's what we do in life. You know, God says, you don't have to carry that worry around with you. There's a drop-off. You can drop that anxiety off. I'd rather carry it with me. I got all these problems, and I know it's a drop-off, but I'm going to carry this worry with me. I'm going to, what about other kinds of baggage, excess baggage we carried around? Somebody prayed earlier. And about y'all, but how many have been complaining lately? It's hot we can choose to rejoice, make a choice to rejoice or choose to lose. But we would rather carry the thing, we'd rather carry around a worry, we'd rather guilt. See, today, maybe there's some things we've done this week, probably have maybe said some things we didn't really want to say, thought some thoughts we didn't really want to think. Maybe we have had the wrong kind of attitude. Maybe not y'all, but maybe possibly. Maybe we have got some kind of way we've disobeyed God. And God says, you've got to drop off. You can drop off this guilt. You don't have to carry this guilt with you anymore. No, we'd rather carry it with us. I know I should confess my sins, and I know I'm not perfect, but I'm going to carry this guilt around with me, and I'm just going to lug it around with me wherever I go. You can drop off the guilt today. You don't have to leave feeling out of fellowship with God. You can have a clean heart. God loves us. God's called us. God saved us by His marvelous grace. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, I want you to know the Lord has got a great plan for your life. And you don't have to walk around with guilt and lust and covetousness. I just wish I had everything everybody else had. You can drop it off at the baggage claim. Are you going to do it today? You have several choices today. And speaking of dropping off, how many met the young man that came to church last Sunday? A man by the name of Jeremy Richardson. How many met him? Let me see your hand. That's the purpose. Only a couple of hands went up. Did y'all not meet the young man? He was sitting right over here in the service on the back row last Sunday morning. That's one of the purposes we had the meeting and greeting, to give you an opportunity to kind of look around and see if anybody is here that needs, that you've not talked with, and maybe you can meet them during that time. Well, let me just tell you about Jeremy Richardson. He works for Kevin Petersheim. He's a firefighter. He moved all the way from Missouri here to Georgia for the sole purpose of going to work at the fire department. He didn't know a single soul. I mean, he didn't know anybody. And yet he moved from Missouri all the way here to Georgia. Well, long story short, a couple of months ago, Jeremy, 27 years old, found out he had a brain tumor. And needless to say, he was shocked about it, but I didn't make any mention of it last Sunday because I didn't feel like it was maybe appropriate. His mother was with him. His mother's name was Marcia. Did y'all meet her? His girlfriend was with him. Her name was Kim. And anyway, long story short, my heart began to go out to this young man, even when Kevin told me about it back during Vacation Bible School. Here's a 27-year-old man that all of a sudden, boom, he's hit with this news that he's got a brain tumor. And so he came to church last Sunday. The Lord put it in my heart after he was here. I got together with him after Sunday school, and I said to him, I said, you know, maybe you and I can get together. He lives down in Monticello. I said, maybe we can go out. I'll take you out to dinner. Let's sit down and chat. Trying to reach out to the young man, feeling like maybe we can spend some time praying or knowing he's from out of town. Anyway, long story short, so taking radiation 5 days a week. He said, I'm really busy. I'm going back and forth taking radiation. And anyway, didn't go into all the details with his treatments. But here's what the Lord put in my heart. In Sunday school, speaking of Sunday school last Sunday, the Lord put in my heart, well, let's see, this man, young man, he's got radiation. He's busy. And maybe there's something we can do. What about if maybe with his mother being down and maybe we can just take a meal over there. How can we share the love of Christ? What can we do to let this young man know that we care? And I'm not saying this for any reason, not for applaud or accolades, but simply to say, I want you to know that I asked this young man to be all right. I'm basically trying to build a relationship with him. I do not know his spiritual status. I do not know whether he's saved or lost. But that was the purpose of sharing the love of Christ. There's all needs around us. Anyway, got to the point. He said, Friday's a good time to maybe drop off something to eat for supper. And I said, well, praise the Lord. God willing, I'd love to do that, just to stop by. And then the question of where do you live? Where is your address? Well, I found out, he said this. He said, we live in a house in Monticello, Georgia. It's the only house in Monticello, Georgia, that has a Missouri Tiger flag hanging on the front porch. I said, okay, I think I can find that, all right? And then I said, well, wait a minute. What if I bring a Georgia Bulldog flag? He said, nope, ain't gonna happen. I said, well, Georgia Tech, come on, somebody say amen, Yellow Jacket. He said, it ain't gonna happen. I said, well, what about a rebel flag, amen? He said, just come on and come and go. Well, long story short, I was hoping maybe he'd be here today, but Lord willing, we want to pray for this young man. Put him on your prayer list. Jeremy Richardson is his name. All right, and here is the message God has placed on my heart to share with you. And the title is Liberated Living. If you're one of those like to take notes, you'll notice Liberated Living. Throughout the message, here's what we're going to choose. Watch this. You can choose this way or you can choose this way. Which way are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to drop off your baggage at the baggage claim, drop off? Or are you going to carry your baggage with you? Are you going to leave today? You see, after we become a Christian child of God, we still have a lot of excess baggage that just keeps on hindering us in our life. It might be unforgiveness. Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been said to me. And we got all this excess baggage that we need to drop off at the drop off and let God take it and thus be free. Liberated living. You have your Bibles today, and we're going for two choices. Choice number one, to choose to lose or make a choice to rejoice. Or you could put it this way. There are two steps to liberated living. You got your Bibles, don't you? Amen. Turn to the book of Galatians, all right? New Testament book, the book of Galatians. We're going to look today at chapter 4. The Lord has been speaking to my heart through this wonderful passage of Scripture. Now, if you'd like and if you're able, would you stand as we read this wonderful word today in this epistle written by Paul, Galatians chapter 4. Now, as you turn to Galatians 4, you're well aware of the fact this is one of the first missionary journeys that Paul was on, that he founded these churches. Actually, there's a number of churches in the Asia Minor area. And furthermore, this is probably one, according to some scholars, one of the earliest New Testament books that was written. Some speculate 48 AD, 49. But there were several purposes why Paul the Apostle wrote this book to these believers. And as we come to chapter 4, we've got to first go to chapter 1. Paul is saying that some of you are saying that there's another gospel. That these false teachers were perpetrating and stating there was some other way to be saved. And so Paul's purpose for sending this letter was to refute the false teachers who were talking about another gospel. And not only that, they were insinuating that you could please God by going into these man-made rules or regulations. See, a lot of people are weighed down today. Maybe somebody you are weighed down with legalism. It's easy once you become a Christian that you want to please God, but then you don't know how to please God. And so you start these rules and regulations, this checklist. I won't do this, but I will do this. I won't do this. And I'm not saying that somewhere down the line that that's not appropriate, but I'm saying this. Instead of being legalistic about it, God wants us to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Now, I said all that to say this. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's very clear, crystal clear, in fact. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So Paul is clarifying and clearing up any confusion that these false teachers were saying, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep these laws, these Jewish laws, in order to be right with God. On the contrary, says Paul, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And then get this, chapter 2, the last part of chapter 2, chapter 3, as we progress getting up to chapter 4, in chapter 3 he says, hey look, and can I put it in modern day language, you Christians, now you're saved, hallelujah, you're going to heaven, why are you reverting back ways that you used to live? Why are you trying to become legalistic instead of being led by the Spirit? If you become the Spirit, why are you reverting back to the flesh? Here's the bottom line. Become a Christian. There's more to the Christian life than just going to heaven. Somebody say amen. It's the Spirit-filled life. It's the life that's not I, but Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. And the Lord wants us to learn how to surrender and yield to Him as Lord, that we don't have to be led and dominated by the dictates of the flesh. Rather, we can have God's peace and produce, as we'll see in a moment, the fruit of the Spirit. So He says that in chapter 3. He says, so we've been redeemed from a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then he talks about in chapter 4 that Christ has redeemed us from this curse, that now we're adopted in God's family, we're children of God, and therefore Christ, who was born in the fullness of time, she was born of a woman. Now, we said all that to bring us up to chapter 4, our text. Chapter 4, verse 22. If you're there, say amen. All right? Felt like it was utmost important to share a little background about this, not just jump into it. That way you get an overall perspective of the Word of God contextually as well as historically. All right, chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Now, who were they? Ishmael and Isaac. Y'all remember? Two sons, as we talk about these sons, we'll talk about it in a moment. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that was Hagar, and the other by a free woman, that was Sarah. And he who was of the bondwoman, meaning Ishmael, was born after what? After what? Are you sure your Bible says that? All right, note that. Was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. Now stop right there. The word allegory, allegiro, is the word which means a hidden meaning or a meaning that's within this text he's talking about. He's comparing two real literal women with the Christian life. It's an allegory, all right? And here, let's continue in verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And there's no doubt that that's where Ishmael went, to Saudi Arabia. We may have time to talk about the Muslims today, but that's not necessarily the intent of the message. But anyway, if you'll note that that is where Ishmael is the founder of the Islamic religion. I didn't say it, Muhammad said it, all right? But anyway, we may have to deal with that in another message. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and in the bondage of her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Many scholars say that old Jerusalem is a reference to Hagar and to Ishmael, whereas the new Jerusalem is Isaac and Sarah, and there is going to be a new Jerusalem. When we die, thank God, we'll get a promise to go to heaven. If you read Revelation 21, you'd find out that John said he saw the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven, like a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren, he's talking about Jerusalem, rejoice thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we brethren, verse 28, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Paul saying to this church of Galatia and to us today, we are the promise of God's people. No, we're not the Jews, but spiritually speaking, we have an inheritance in Christ. Now, keep reading verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Do you realize if you read the Old Testament, you'd find out that Ishmael was born before Isaac? And do you realize that at the age of 13, 14 years old, he mocked Isaac? Some say, tradition says, the Bible doesn't say, tradition says he pulled a bow and arrow on Isaac, mocking him with even some other gestures. The bottom line is this, that's what that's a reference to. Now keep reading, verse number 30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture, cast out. I want you to underline verse 30. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, he's talking to the believers, Christians in Galatia, he's talking to us today. Brethren, we are not of children of the bondwoman, namely Hagar and Ishmael, but of the free woman. There's a lot to be said here, and it's not just a physical comparison, it's a deep spiritual meaning, and I trust that before you leave today, God will open your eyes to see exactly what the Lord is wanting you and me to do when it comes to this liberated living. Let's pray now. Father, I ask now in the name of Jesus to open our spiritual eyes to see and open our hearts to believe and change us from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, your spirit, your power, your anointing. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love and your amazing grace. Now, Lord, I pray you minister to hearts. Lord, lift up those that are discouraged. Father God, bring fresh renewal in the heart that you do have a plan and a purpose for us. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, you'll give us grace to see that you've got the much more for us. You'll bring us into victory. Father, you'll help us to break free from this excess baggage we carry around with us every day that hinders us from being everything you want us to be. And we love you, Lord. We give you praise and glory. Save the lost, revive the saved. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going. Two directions. You have a choice today. Watch this now. After you hear the message, you're going to go either in this direction or you're going to go in this direction. Either you're going to walk in the flesh, continue to let self be in control. Number one, it's all about me. It's all about my. It's all about myself. And it's all about being led by the dictate. By the way, you know the world is wired up to get you and me to live by the flesh, live carnally, live for ourselves, and not live for the Lord and let Jesus have control of our life. Others going to say, you know, Lord, you've got a bigger plan for me. You're a bigger have to carry around all this excess baggage. Jesus, I can confess it today. I've had this bad attitude. I've done this or whatever this might excess baggage be in your life. I don't have to live by rules and regulations about I don't smoke and cuss and drink and chew and I don't run with girls that do. A lot of people think this in the Christian life, that when Jesus saves you, that he leaves you to live any way you can. Not so. The Holy Spirit of God has come to live in us and come to empower us. And can I tell you this, simply put, has there ever been a point in time in your life when you said, Jesus, I want you to take control? How about your thought life? Oh, I let God take control. But on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I'm watching this, Dancing with the Stars, I'm watching the Idol, I'm watching everything I want to watch.
And
I know I'm preaching, I know I'm meddling, but I'm saying this. What you put in your mind is going to affect your life. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, I know we're all bombarded every day, and I'm not being critical. I'm saying this, that there's victory. We don't have to be led by the dictates of the flesh. By the way, once you become a Christian a little while, you know what we do? Here's what happens. Now I love you, but I've got to tell you this. Are you ready for this? I love you, but I've got to tell you this. If we sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and we hear the Word of God preached and proclaimed, here's the bottom line. If we don't get right with God, if we don't confess our sins, you know what happens? Our heart gets harder. We become more self-righteous. We become more critical to other people because we're really not in fellowship with God unless we confess our sins. Somebody say amen. And that's what's happening to a lot of people. We come and sit in church. We become religious, but we don't really do business with God. And there's a lot of people that are miserable today. They're pulling around this garbage and critical toward it. I went to church today, bless God, and you didn't. I'm better than you. You know, it's easy for the devil. He doesn't care how. He knocked us out of the battle. Now listen, as we talk about this excess baggage, there's two areas that I want you to concentrate on. Number one, excess baggage called legalistic living. Legalistic living. That's what Paul was talking about in Galatians. He said, you Galatians, you are trying to please God in the flesh. You're not being led by the Spirit. Listen to me, we got to live in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. And I want you to know, the average Christian, I'm not being critical, I'm not where I ought to be either, but the average Christian, hear me, I say this in love, the average Christian is not in fellowship with God. Most of the Christendom, we don't want to hear the truth of God. We want to live in our sin. We want to disobey God. We want to do our thing. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. I mean, that's the average mindset today. They come to church and say, well, preacher, I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel good. And that's why we got a lot of, and I'm not being critical, I'm just stating some facts. That's why we got, you can turn on the TV and you can find any psychology, pop psychology that's telling you human interest stories without integrating the Word of God, and you can feel good. But I've got news for you. The Bible is the Word of God, and the way we're going to feel good is to be back in relationship with God. Somebody say amen. That's what it is. But see, we're getting further from that because it's not popular to take a stand on what God says today. Do you see this happening all across America? Do you see this happening? Well, praise God. Consequently, we got a bunch of excess baggage. We got a bunch of religious people. Well, I'm going to church, but my heart is hard as a rock. You know, I'm just going through the motions. You take the average Christian on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. That's the real proof of whether your life has changed. Not on Sunday when we've got our clothes on and when we sit around and look at everybody and smile and say, how you doing? What's really inside is how we live and how we act Monday through Saturday. Come on, somebody say amen. That's the way it is. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Number one, there's three places I want you to think with me about this legalistic living, carrying around excess baggage. Number one, and I don't know why the Lord led me to this, but this week I've just been thinking about it. Number one is failures in the past. This is something that, you see, go with me in the story. Here's Sarah, Abraham's wife. Here's Hagar, Sarah's maid. Here's Abraham. At the age of 75 years old, God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to become a great nation. I mean, remember that, the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis 12 through 15. And you know what God said to Abraham? He said this. He said, Abraham, you're going to become a great nation. He gave him a threefold promise, a national promise, a universal promise, and a personal promise. That's what we call the Abrahamic covenant, all right? It has not been fully fulfilled until Jesus comes again. The Jews will possess the land according to God's word, Ezekiel 35, and you can read to Ezekiel 37. However, there is an aliyah, there is a return of a lot of the Jews right now, by the way. I don't know if you've been reading that, but in the light of all the persecution that's going on, Hamas, and the war that's going on there in Israel. But without getting on that too much, let me go back to this statement about failures of the past. Question, are you ready? How many have ever failed in the past? Let me see your hand. We've all failed, haven't we? We've all failed. Am I preaching and talking to myself as well as to parents today? How about it? Daddies, mamas, grandparents? How many feel like, well, you know, if I had to do it over, I might have done some things different? We could all say stuff like that. Husbands and wives, if we had to do it over. Failure in the past. But wait a minute. Here's the deal. We can go here or we can go here. When you mess up, and we do mess up. As a matter of fact, I read in that blessed book right there, well, a lot of people messed up, but God wasn't finished with them yet. And Noah messed up. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham messed up. God wasn't finished with David. David, a man after God's own heart, he should have been out to battle when he was standing on the rooftop. Remember, it was during the spring when normally kings went out to war. What did David do? He saw a woman down there bathing. He couldn't help the first look, but he could the second and third. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. LSD, lust, sin, death. And David looked, David lusted, David lay, and then David learned. He paid a severe consequence for his sin. In fact, I believe the severity of his consequence was largely due because he procrastinated for 9 months before he got right with God. How do I know that? Nathan the prophet, if you well remember, came to him and said, "You are the man," when he told a story about a poor man that had two ewe lambs and a rich man took those poor man's lambs. And David didn't realize he was talking about him. You are the man. Wait a minute. But God was not finished with David. How do I know that? You see, when we fail, praise God, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Glory be to God. What I mean? I mean, David in Psalm 51 said, "Blot out my sins, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, create within me a clean heart." David, a man after God's own, he did not excuse his sin. He did not cover his sin. Once he'd been confronted with his sin, he had to get right with God. And he did get right with God. And you know what he said? Now, I believe there's a lot of people right here in this category. I talked with a man this week, and he told me this. He said, "Hey, this man's in his 80s. He said, "Brother Pastor, I'm not a Christian." He said, "I've done too many bad things in my life. I just don't think God will forgive me." And now, whether you've been forgiven or not, I'm convinced there's still the devil, still the accuser of the brethren. And he works on us day and night. Look what you've done. Yes, I've messed up, praise God, but look what Jesus has done. I'm nothing, but he's everything. Look where you've been. Oh yeah, I can't deny I've been once upon a time living in the flesh and serving the devil. But praise God, that makes God's grace that much sweeter to me. Amen. You see, because if you've been forgiven much, you love much. It could be you've not been forgiven much. Maybe that's why you don't love the Lord Jesus much. But wait a minute. David said, "Then shall I teach transgressors their ways." Once he had received God's forgiveness. There's a lot of people, some of you right now. Can I tell you the truth? You know what we do? "I know God said he'd forgive me. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. But I've got to pay for it. I've got to have some hand in it. I can't just receive it without doing something for it." God never required you to do anything for it. He's done it all. Will you just receive his forgiveness? Thank him for the forgiveness. Once you get a glimpse of the power of the blood of Jesus, and that's what the Lord dealt with me. I don't know about you. I don't know about your life, but I know the devil did his dirty work in my life. And once I had a hard time forgiving myself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But once, praise God, I saw in Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10, the power of the blood of the Lamb. That no matter what I've done, the blood washes my sin away. makes the slate clean. I'm free and forgiven. Praise God. And God doesn't look at me anymore outside of His Son. Rather, He looks at me justified, clean, just as if I've not sinned. And now He imputes, He clothes me in His righteousness. I'm a child of the King. I'm joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And praise God, now I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And in Him I live and move and have my being. Now I have a citizenship in heaven, and He's in me, and I am Him, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, once we discover who we are in Christ, we'll never be the same. Never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Oh, bless His holy name. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. Somebody ought to say, thank You, Jesus. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm sure grateful that I'm not what I used to be. By Your grace, I want to be everything You want me to be. Wait a minute. David forgave himself. Did he pay the consequences? Absolutely. Does God wink at sin? No. Tell me, failures of the past. Failures of the past. What are you beating yourself over? You keep carrying that thing around. Take it to the baggage claim and lay it at the feet of Jesus. Will you do it today? I said, will you do it today? Will you do it today? You can carry it around with you if you want to. You can haul that excess baggage if you want to. Or you can say, hallelujah, I'm free and forgiven, liberated, living. Not only failure, number two, this kind of goes hand in hand. What about family? What about family? Family issues. There's some families right here, I dare say. There's animosity. There's conflict. Maybe you hadn't talked with some of your family in a while. Maybe your children hadn't called you. Maybe your kinfolks have been distant. And you know, well, bless God, you know, I'm a parent, and I think the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Let's say that together. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, be submissive to the husband. That didn't mean a doormat. Rather, husband's the head, the wife is the heart. Can somebody say amen? And then children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God set up the order in the home. I don't care, I'm not going to say this critical, but I'm just saying this honestly. I don't care what Dr. Phil says. I want what the Bible says. Somebody says, you know, fine. The psychologists and psychiatrists can try to evaluate and analyze and all of that stuff, but God knows more than we know. And the Bible says there in the Psalm 127, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, for He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. They're the gift of God, and blesses a man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but he shall stand with the enemies at the gate. And so, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You hear that? Ephesians 6:4. Provoke them not to wrath. Well, how can I provoke them to wrath? By being overbearing, by being under discipline. I'm not going to go into all of that, but we can provoke. That is, lose and have that seething hostility. But wait a minute. We live in a rebellious time, no doubt about it. Family is important. Family issues. Well, bless God, brother pastor, I can't do anything about it, and this is going on. You can. When's the last time you prayed for that family member? When's the last time you tried to make things right with them? No, they did it me. I'm not going to go to them. They're going to come to me. Here's that flesh thing. Paul said you can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit and you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, that old mindset of the world does affect the way we live and the way we respond. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to live in the flesh. You know what I did? Blah, 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 blah. Well, family. Excess baggage. Legalism. Family. Not only that, but what about finances? These three areas. Failure, family, finances. How many are saying, I got all this debt, and I don't know if I'm going to get out of debt. And I understand. But wait a minute. God says He's got a plan. I know sometimes we can't control things. Some things are out of our control. But if you don't have a plan, work your plan and plan your work. Did you hear about one man? He was in such debt, he said, man, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I die, I want you to, he told his wife, his family, cremate my body. And he said, I want you to put it in an envelope and send it to IRS and say, now you got everything. Don't ask for any more. You got everything now. Well, what about it? What about it? I want you to look with me, please. Excess baggage. Which direction are you going to go? Are we going to keep letting the flesh dictate us? Or are we going to yield to the Holy Spirit? I want you to look, please, at the Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Look what Paul said in Galatians 5, 1. Now, here's how we can get rid of this excess baggage and not be legalistic, but be liberated. Wait a minute. Can I be honest with y'all? Can I be honest with y'all? Will y'all believe me if I tell you this? It's easy for me in the flesh to start developing a critical attitude. Can anybody relate to me? Critical attitude. Self-righteous attitude. You know, I do this and I do that. And y'all don't look at me like a deer in the headlights. You know what I'm talking about. You get that way too. Self-righteous. Instead of being humble. Instead of being broken. And the longer you sit in church and the more you study the Bible, the more knowledge you get and the more close you get, and the more we want to pat ourselves on the back and be puffed up with pride. That's easy. The natural, normal tendency is to be puffed up. And God says he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Galatians 5:1 says this. Look, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us what? Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Stand fast. Do you hear about the little boy that had a horse? And the horse wouldn't run. The horse wouldn't run. Is that 911 calling me? Emergency system. This is an emergency system. Anyway, sorry. Hey, listen. Little boy had a horse. That horse wouldn't run. Somebody said to that boy, I said, son, that horse is a terrible looking horse. Well, that son, will that horse run? Can that horse run fast? Little boy said, no, sir, he can't run fast, but he sure can stand fast. Stand fast. That's what Paul's saying. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. In the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. I'll close on this. There are three wonderful parts to this thing of walking in the Spirit and not walking after the flesh. And if you'd like to know the verses, they're in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Verse 16, Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in total opposition to one another. You may not do the things you may. Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to a crowd here that started checking off lists. Well, let's see, if I don't eat pork, and if I don't, all these Jews, they got these customs, and if I start keeping all these customs that they do, Sabbath, I'll start being under these legalistic 602 man-made rules, and then I'll be right with God. We don't do that, but subconsciously we do that. You don't realize how easy it is to start weighing out your good over your bad, and your checklist all of a sudden becomes, I've done more good than bad, and therefore I'm right with God. Watch this. Instead of being led by the Spirit of God, instead of having the, as Paul said, be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, how can I be Spirit-filled? How can I walk in the Spirit? The word walk there, by the way, is the word live in the Spirit. Can I just be frank with you? Some of us have got to let go of some of the excess baggage. There's some stuff influencing our life, and we don't want to admit it, but there's some stuff we just got to, here's the baggage claim. I'm not going to carry this thing around anymore. Take that from me. I don't have to carry it, hallelujah. I'm free. Here's the freedom, liberated, living. Number one, by burden bearing. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 2. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. Paul said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The word bear is the word baros, B-A-R-O-S. You know what it means? Here's how I can walk in the Spirit. Here's how I can be free from living a life that I think is pleasing God in the flesh. The word bear, baros, means this. It's a heavy load. It's a load that is overwhelming. It is a
weight, according to the word, bear one another's burden, it's a weight that will crush an individual unless they have somebody to help bear that load. Bear one another's burdens. Tell me, is there somebody here today under a heavy load? I think there are. Matter of fact, I know there are. Can we help bear the burden? See, that's walking in the Spirit. It's not all about me. It's not all about mine. It's not all about my world. What I want to do is helping bear each other's burdens. Y'all see that? Say amen if you see it. Burden bearing. Fruit caring. Look at chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, and what else? Self-control. One little boy said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, and remote control. That's about right for the fruit of the Spirit for some of us. Come on, talk to me. 9 different flavors. One fruit, 9 different flavors. Not 9 different fruit, not 9 different fruits, but one fruit, 9 flavors. All right, here's the bottom line. Burden bearing, fruit caring. How can I walk in the Spirit? You see, we're the vine and Jesus, we're the branch rather, and He's the vine. Lord, how can I stay attached to You? Well, I can help bear one of those burdens by the power of the Holy Spirit. As God speaks to my heart about doing something, I obey the Lord. It's not in the flesh, the Spirit of God. I'm busy. I got things I got to do. I don't have time to run a mill over here. God says, you want the blessing, you better do what I ask you to do. Amen. I mean, He didn't put it that way, but I just know the Lord is good. How many believe that God had our best day? He's a great God. He loves us all. Then last but not least, not only burden bearing and fruit caring, but Christ sharing. Look at chapter 5, verse 24. In this chapter, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. That's the key to Spirit-filled living. That's how I can live a liberated life. They that are Christ have crucified. It's in the aorist tense, but it's also in the active voice, which means, watch this. As I obey the Lord, I come under the Lordship of Christ. I say no to the flesh. I say yes to God, and I confess all the sins I know. When's the last time you confessed your sins? It's been a while, hadn't it? I just came to church today. I hadn't thought about my sins. Well, ask the Lord to search your heart and say, Lord, maybe I've got a bad attitude. Maybe there's something I've done. I just need to get right with You. How many of you are going to drop your baggage off at the baggage drop-off today? Or how many of you are going to leave out of here lugging this thing around everywhere you go? Bitterness, anger, guilt, worry. We're used to hanging on and bearing our worry, aren't we? We're just used to it. Would you stand to your feet today?